So this is Radharasura Nidhi. And we finished describing selected verses from Prabhupada Saraswati's immortal work, Radharasura Nidhi, glorifying the Radha Charana Mahima, the glories of Radharani's name. Now, he is right in the beginning, which is interesting, he has a verse where he glorifies Radharani's feet. So we'll spend a few days at Radharani's feet, which is a good place to stay today, tomorrow, and forever. To be eternally fixed and fastened and held to the feet of Radharani, this is a great perfection. Ayi nanda tanaja kinkaram patitam vam shameva vambado kripaya tava parapankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. This is exactly the prayer of Krishna. Krishna is also praying to Nanda Nandan. Krishna is praying to Nanda Nandan in Shikshastakam. Hey Nanda Nandan, O son of Nanda Maharaj. So who is praying now? It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in Radha Bhav. So actually Radharani is praying. The Shikshastakam prayer is spoken by Radharani. Govinda Virahina Me. All the words are about Krishna. Govinda Virahina Me. Nanda Nandan. Prananath. So therefore, all the nam of that is Radharani calling out to Krishna. Radharani feeling separation from Krishna. So in this prayer, which represents the state of asakti, attachment, in bhakti, we have Shraddha, then Sarasanga, Bhajanakriya, Anartha Nivritti, then Nishta, then Ruchi. Ruchi is then Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim. Then Nishta is Trinadapi Sunichena. And now Asakti is this. So now Krishna is praying to Radharani, please attach me to your lotus feet. That makes sense. Radharani is the purest devotee of Krishna. She always wants to be fixed and fastened at the lotus feet of Krishna. I'm your kinkari. I'm your maid servant, kinkara. Kinkara or kinkari means servant, male or female, kinkara or kinkari. I am your servant. That is my eternal position. I have no other position. I am not your lord. I am not your controller. I am not your master. I am your servant. This is my identity eternally. I am drowning this ocean of separation from you. Patitam mam. I am very fallen. I have fallen into an ocean of separation from you. Where are you? Hey Krishna. Hey Rad. Hey Krishna. Hey Rad. Hey Vrajadevike. Hey Krishna, where are you? Oh Nandanandan. I've fallen into this terrible ocean of separation. And I'm suffering. Stita duli sadrisham. Stita duli sadrisham. Stita duli. Fix me. Just fix me as a duli. As a piece of dust, a particle of dust at your feet. This is what I'm begging you. So Radharani is begging, Krishna, pick me up. Don't leave me alone. Come back to me. I'm naturally attached to you and you're naturally attached to me. I should be with you at every moment. Why have you gone to Mathura? Why have you gone to Dwarka? So this is from her perspective. So here, for the bhaktas, we're praying, oh Krishna, we're in the bhava-ambudi. We're not in the bhava-ambudi. For Radharani, it's bhava-ambudi. Ai nanda tanusha kintakaram patitam ma vishame bhavambudo. Vishame bhavambudo. Vishame bhavambudo means, visha means poisonous ocean of material existence. Vishame bhavambudo. Bhavambudo. But for Radharani, it's Visha Bhava Ambudi. It's Bhava. It's she's feeling the poison, Visha, poison of the drowning. She's drowning in an ocean of poison of separation. It's Bhava, Visha Bhava. At any rate, this is some internal other point. But here in this prayer, we would pray that Krishna would pick us up from this ocean of material existence and keep us fixed in Adam at the dust of his lotus feet. So here, the Vaishnava, the Gaudiya Vaishnava, is praying, O Radharani, please pick me up from the ocean of material distress and fix me as an atom of dust in your lotus feet. Because the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they want to please Krishna. They want to please Krishna and satisfy Krishna by pleasing his devotee. Because in innumerable places, Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. But one who is devoted to my devotee, and one who serves my devotee, I very much appreciate him, and I'm very much grateful and like him. I consider him my devotee. So the best way to serve Krishna is to serve his devotees. Das, das, ano das. Gopi bhartu parakamalayor? Das, das, ano das. So that philosophy is perfected in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and the concept is known as Radha Dasyam. So all of our Goswamis have taught and written, especially Prabhupada Saraswati, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, etc., that the perfection of life is become a servant of Srimati Radharani, become a maidservant of Radharani. Of course, we may have a different sthayibhav. We may be in Sakiras, become a servant of Krishna or Balaram, or rarely, maybe, Vatsalyaras, it's possible. But generally, what's being presented in totality of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is to become a maidservant of Srimati Radharani, to become her servant. So then our angle of vision is, yes, yes, Krishna, please, we will pray to Krishna. Krishna, please pick me up from this ocean of material suffering, of birth and death, and this ocean of forgetfulness from you, and fix me as an atom of in the dust of Radharani's lotus feet. This will be our modification of the prayer. Because every one of our acharyas in the parampara, they're all maidservants of Radharani. Everyone. Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisanta Saraswati, Gaurakishora, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and all Vishwanath, Chakravarti, Baladev, Vidyabhushan, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Sad Goswamis, they're all in the service of the lotus feet of Radharani. And they were reading their books, and we're studying their books, and we're worshipping them, and we're praying to them. So where can we end up? Where will we end up? We have to end up with them. Like once they asked Prabhupada, well, Prabhupada, you sometimes say that you'll be leaving us soon, that you're an old man, 70 is already gone, and you could leave at any moment, and we have to get serious. But Prabhupada, how, you know, without you, how will we carry on? And you're everything for us. I mean, for us, Krishna consciousness means you. Prabhupada, for us, Krishna consciousness means Prabhupada consciousness. And Prabhupada said this, and Prabhupada said that. And we're doing this because Prabhupada wants it like this, and Prabhupada will be happy if we do it like this. And we want to please Prabhupada. Krishna is so far away from us, we don't really know or perceive, understand Krishna. And we know and perceive something about you. You are everything. So if you leave this world and you go back to Krishna, what's going to happen to us? It's where will we go? Where will we go when we die? Because we're always thinking of you and serving you. Then Prabhupada answered, said, if you're always thinking of me and serving me, then you'll come to me. You'll be with me. And then the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, you'll be with Radha and Krishna. You'll be in the spiritual world with Radha and Krishna. Well, that's right. And so will you. Because if I'm there and you're with me, then we'll all be together serving the lotus feet of Radharani. So this is a very joyous prospect. Very positive potential being presented before us. So this group of verses talks about, in general, talks about Radha Rupa Mahima, and we'll discuss different aspects of Radharani's transcendental form. The glories, the Mahima, the glories, the fame, name, glories of Radharani's form. And this particular verse is verse number 2, which describes something about the overall effect of Radharani, just the overall effect of Radharani's beauty. It's called her, you can say her, Radha's Prabhav, her influence, her effect. Yasya kadapi vasanam chalakela nota danyati danya pavanena kritartamani yogin jadurga magatir madhusudanopi tasya namostu vrishabhanu bhuvo dishepi. This is a very nice verse. Yogendra Durga Magatir Madhusudana. Danya Pavanena Kritardamani. The translation is, even Madhusudana Krishna, who is very hard to attain, Yogindra Durgamagati, Durgama, Durgama. Gama means to go, is gati, go to that goal. Durgama Gatir, the destiny or the goal, gati. Durgama means it's very hard to go there. It's very difficult, very hard to go there. Yogindra, the greatest king of yogis, have a very great difficult time going there or attaining Krishna. Krishna is hard to attain, even by the best of yogis, Yogiraj or Yogindra. But that Krishna, who is Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna, as Sanjay is telling in Bhagavad Gita, verse 70 of 18th chapter, Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna, Tatra Parta Dhanurdhara, he's saying that Krishna is the Yogeshvara. Krishna is the yogi of all yogis, the Ishvara, the controller of all yogis. That greatest yogi himself, Krishna, he feels himself greatly blessed. He feels actually blessed. Ati danya. Danyati danya. Danyati danya. Ati means excessively or greatly. Greatly blessed, not only blessed but fortunate. He's wealthy. When he is touched by even the slightest playful breeze coming from the tip of Radhika's garment, I offer my obeisances to any direction in which I may find the daughter of Vrishabhanu. Tasya namostu, Vrishabhanu bhavo dishe pi. Dishe means dig. Dishe means direction. He's saying namostu. I offer my obeisances in any direction where Vrishabhanu Nandini is. I offer my obeisances. She's so glorious. So this verse is telling that Radharani's form, her transcendental form, her sweetness, her beauty, her qualities, the overall presentation is so astounding and so amazing that simply a little breeze, a little wind blows from her body and passes over her garment, passes by her sari, and then it goes downwind or it goes to some distance. And Krishna feels that breeze, that wind. As soon as he feels it, he feels, oh, I'm so fortunate. I'm so blessed. I'm Atidanya. Atidanya means I'm very wealthy, excessively wealthy. Today I received a great fortune. A great, great wealth has come to me because some of the wind has blown by Radharani, and that same wind that blew over her body is now blowing on my body. How fortunate I am. So right now we're turning our fans and blowing the wind from our bodies all over each other. But no one's considering themselves very fortunate by that. But this verse, Prabodhananda Saraswati, of course there's a pastime behind it, which he's seeing, but he's explaining that the breeze alone maddens Krishna. He becomes completely maddened just by the breeze from the border, Vasana Anchala, the Kela, the playful breeze which arises from the border of Radharani's dress. So the whole idea is that when we hear about the Mahima, the Na Mahima, the Rup Mahima, the Guna Mahima, and the Leela Mahima of Radha, of Radharani, then we can have some appreciation. First, knowledge. We acquire some knowledge. Then that knowledge breeds or generates appreciation. It generates appreciation and, of course, understanding and perception. And then following that, or consequent to that, may come desire. Because it's impossible to desire something you don't know about. It's impossible to desire something you've never perceived. It's impossible to desire something you never heard about. Think about that. Can you desire something you've never seen? Can you desire something you never heard about? So to desire Radharani, to desire to serve Radha, or to become her maidservant, or Palyadasi, protected maidservant, or to become her mandri, or her eternal maidservant in Brajagokul, how can you develop that desire if you don't know anything about the mistress, or you don't know anything about the person? You don't know anything about the glories of their name, or their form, or their qualities, or their pastimes. It becomes a very empty desire, a very inconsequential desire, which will not generate very much energy, or not generate very much enthusiasm or action on the path of devotion towards her lotus feet. So therefore, these subjects are being discussed. So there, this is one point. And then, of course, we'll continue a little bit more tomorrow, but there's this word is Madhusudan. Because every word, of course, has so many meanings. But Madhusudan has, in the beginning of creation, when Brahma was having the Vedic literatures, had the Vedas, there were two demons that appeared, actually appeared from Brahma. I think they appeared from his nostril, or they came out of his breath or something. And their name was Madhu and Kaitav. Madhu and Kaitav. And then when they came out, then they stole the Vedas and ran away. They stole the books of knowledge. And they ran away from Brahma. And then Brahma said, oh my God, these guys just stole all the knowledge. There was no more knowledge in the universe. All the knowledge, all the books of knowledge were stolen. They took the knowledge. We don't really know if it was books. It's not really described books, but they stole the knowledge. It's described that he was manifesting Vedic knowledge, Brahma, and then Madhu and Kaito came out and stole it. So that sometimes the acharyas, they give classes and they see that Madhu and Kaito, they represent some qualities, how we lose knowledge. The Madhu and Kaito, they represent... Yeah, one of them I think represents forgetfulness, and then the other one is... No, some other thing. Anyway, I have it in one of my notes. So I can't, but they're going to say metaphorical personalities. But they have form also. Metaphorical, and they have form. So they took the Vedas, and then Brahma was bewildered. All the knowledge was stolen. His storehouse of knowledge was stolen. Then he started crying, Vishnu, Vishnu, so he cried to Vishnu. He said, listen, they stole the knowledge. His Madhu and Kaitav, they took the knowledge and ran off somewhere. And he was unhappy, like a baby when you steal his candy. You take the candy away from a baby, he cries. So Brahma, his candy is knowledge. That's his candy. A Brahman, his asset is his wealth. His wealth is his books. So if you steal all the Brahman's books, you'll cry. Definitely. And a Kshatriya, if you steal all his horses, he'll start crying. So then Vishnu said, listen, don't cry. It's okay. Don't be unhappy. So then Vishnu went and he found his Kaitav and Madhu. Then he knocked them off. He killed them. So for killing them, he got the name Madhusudan. But acharyas say that Prabhudananda Saraswati is not so much interested with the killer of the Madhu demon, but he's interested with Radhan Krishna, Yugal, and the worship of Radhan Krishna Yugal. So when he uses the word Madhusudan in this verse, he's thinking of another meaning of Madhusudan. Madhu means honey. Madhu, shahad, honey, nectar, sweetness. And Sudan means... Madhu means sweet, and Suda means nectar. So he's saying that Krishna is that person who likes to drink sweet nectar, Madhusudan. And where does he find that sweet nectar? He finds that sweet nectar in the lips of Radharani. So therefore, when the breeze blows, this breeze is blowing, Vasan Anchala Kelanota. When the breeze blows by the corner of Radharani's garment, and then Krishna is down somewhere removed from where Radharani is, but he just smells the fragrance of her garments or her body. As soon as he smells that fragrance, then he becomes extremely, it says, he feels very blessed. Not only does he feel blessed, but he feels induced. He feels very much enthused or induced by that Udipan. Udipan means stimulant. Stimulant to ras, excitant. A rasa excitant is called udipan. And then he, when his his staibhav, his permanent loving mood of love towards Radharani, to serve Radharani, to love Radharani, becomes stimulated by the input of that breeze, that fragrant breeze. Then when he smells it, just for example, then he becomes stimulated, oh, that's Radharani, that's the Radharani's fragrance. The wind is carrying Radharani's fragrance. Then he becomes excited, oh, I don't just want to smell the fragrance of Radharani's form, I want to taste the nectar of Radharani's lips. So therefore, he's Madhusudan. So that's what's being said here, but this breeze becomes a stimulant for further association and pastimes. We have the same experience. If you're somewhere in the house and someone throws a chunk, it's called chunk, when you throw spices in the ghee. Chunk?
Chunk.
Hindi is chunk. So when someone throws a chunk and the jeera is frying in the ghee and the hing is frying.
Chunk.
Chunk. Yeah, chunk. When they throw the chunk, and then you smell that. When you smell that, what happens? You get hungry. You go, well, that smells good. I'm hungry. Even if you weren't hungry, even if you already had lunch, or you already ate somewhere and you already had your lunch, then you go to visit a friend, and your friend's there. You're talking to your friend in the living room, and his wife or mother or whatever is in that kitchen making some lunch for him. And prasadam. And you go, as soon as you smell, you go, and you try to eat, oh, that smells good, or you become hungry. You become interested in eating. It stimulates your staibhav for eating. Because we always have a permanent mellow of eating, desire to eat in our heart. So if something stimulates that, then that becomes an udipan for our permanent loving mood. We have a permanent mood in our heart. It's called staibhav. A permanent mood, a permanent feeling. I love to eat. So if I see any good food, I want to eat it. If I smell any good food, I want to eat it. If I hear about any good food, I want to eat it. Because all these are stimulants, excitants. So it's the same thing. Krishna smells Radharani's. Smells good. She smells really good. I want to meet her. I want to see her. I want to kiss her and taste the nectar of her lips. Yes.
You said that in our line, in Gauri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they're always Madhurya Rasa, they want to become the...
Generally, if most everyone in our line is...
So, does that mean that if we are in Gauri Vaishnava Sampradaya, we can't have any other...
No, whatever your staibha, whatever your atma is designated at... That you will realize at the point of bhava.
So that never changes.
So no, that's fixed. It never changes. That's eternal. That's what it means. Siddhadeya. The word siddha means perfect. Perfect means eternal. So siddhadeya can never change. Siddhadeya is eternally existing. Siddhadeya is eternally existing in the spiritual world. And how Krishna wants you to serve him, in what particular mood or what particular form. That's designated. That's part of your Satchitananda, your primordial being. It's, you're eternal. Everything's eternal. Nothing. All of a sudden, now you become something. You can't become something. If you're eternal, you can't become something. You can't become. Then it's not eternal. Your spiritual form is not eternal, and you're not eternal. We are eternal living entities. So our spiritual body is also eternal. And now we're Nityabhata, so we're eternally in this position. So as soon as we, but this anadi, it's beginningless time, we've been in this material situation. But our spiritual form is also there. So when we're ready to accept it, we will be granted it. It will be revealed to us. So that spiritual form may be in Madhurya Ras, maybe in Vatsali Ras, maybe in Sakhi Ras, or Dasi Ras. Generally, what the Acharyas say is that those that, because Krishna's in the heart directing everyone, and he knows everything, past, present, and future, for all time, because he's directing everything. Those that come on this side of the fence, they come to this sampradaya, generally they'll be inclined towards worshipping Gauranga. And worshipping a Gauranga generally means Madhurya Bhav, Braja Bhav, Madhurya Bhav. All this says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chatur Bhava. It says Chatur Braja Bhava. It says Lord Chaitanya came to describe the four bhavas of Braj. Chatur Bhava. Dasya Sakya Vatsaya Madhurya. However, that he described those, but in describing those, he's actually pointing and indicating and emphasizing Madhurya Bhava, and especially Manjari Bhava, to worship Radharani as her maidservant. This is the speciality. Anarpita Chiram Chirat. Right? There's this verse. It says, Swabhakti Shriyam. The second line is Swabhakti Shriyam. This is Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, verse 4 or 6, which is describing the very unique contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anarpita Chiram Chirat. He's come to give what has never been given before. Dasya Bhakti has been given before. The service in Dasya Ras. But this Braj Bhakti has never been given before by any other incarnation. Even Krishna himself. He showed it, but he didn't distribute it. So Lord Chaitanya has come to distribute Braj Bhakti. But then the second line says, Swabhakti Shriyam. Which means her own bhakti. The beauty and effulgence of her own bhakti. Swa means Radharani's bhakti. Swa bhakti. Swa bhakti Shriyam. The bhakti of Shri or Swa means my own. So my own, what is the bhakti of Gauranga? The bhakti of Gauranga is Radha Mahabhav. Lord Krishna came in the form of Mahaprabhu to experience Radha Bhav and basically distribute Swa bhakti Shriyam. So all the acharyas are mantris. And all their books are about Manjari Bhava, primarily. There are very few exceptions. Not in our Goswamis, at least. You can find some lines of devotees coming from Nityananda that are propagating Sakya Ras. So really, in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, primarily there are two Braja Rasas available. Sakya Ras and Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Ras means Manjari Bhava, the service of Radharani. This is the... And if it's not the service of Radharani, then it would be Sakya Ras and be the service of Krishna and Balaram under the guidance of Subal and Sridham. But this is very, very minute, minor point, minor rasa, not very much in terms of totality of teachers, acharyas. Gadadhar's line is Madhurya Ras. Nityananda's line is Madhurya Ras. Advaita's line is Madhurya Ras. But there are some followers of Nityananda that are teaching, or you can say describing Sakya Ras. Rida Chaitanya, some others are there. But you have a hard time finding books and teachings and teachers to learn about Sakya Ras. Really hard time. And when one comes to the time when he needs to know all these details, and Krishna will adjust everything, that you'll find the proper books. You'll find the proper Shiksha Gurus. So now everyone in Gaudiya Sampradaya, they can just follow the path of the Goswamis, which is the path of Raj Bhakti, basically Radhadasyam, and then which is the topmost thing of Madhurya Ras. And then if your Ras is less than that, then that will be settled up when it's time. Because everything that's in Madhurya Ras includes everything. It includes Vatsalya Ras and Sakya Ras, everything is there. So if you have $1,000, someone you're working towards getting $1,000, and then you get $1,000, but actually you only need your bill is only $500. Oh, anyway, I got a few extra dollars, so there's no loss. So this is why everyone that basically, because you see in Gaudiya Vaishnavism everywhere, mostly everyone worships Radha and Krishna and Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna Yuga. Prabhupada introduced the worship of Gaur Nitai. But Gaudiya Math is only Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. And Prabhupada's first deity was Mahaprabhu. And his second and his deity in Jhansi is Mahaprabhu. This is his first deity he worshipped publicly. Mahaprabhu. Rasaraj Mahabhav, Radha and Krishna. And then the first deity of Mayapur is Mahaprabhu. ISKCON Mayapur. Mahaprabhu. Radha and Krishna. When he went to the West, then he introduced Gaur Nitai worship. The beginning of Gaur Nitai worship was in the West, in New York. I went to New York. Then he introduced, he said, well, these guys are really fallen. They're all Mayavadis, so if I introduce only Mahaprabhu, they'll think it's all Mayavad. And they really need the mercy of Nittai. So then he introduced Gaur Nittai worship. It's like this. What she said? I don't know.
Can she also be served on time?
Very good. Very good. Serve them. And pray to Nityananda that you can give up sense gratification. And when you can give up sense gratification, then you can worship Lord Chaitanya. When you worship Lord Chaitanya, free from sense gratification, then you can enter Vrindavan. Vishaya charya kabe shura have man shura have kabe have herabo shri Vrindavan dam. So Nityananda will help us, Nityananda's kripa will help us become free from sense gratification. And by his mercy we can worship Lord Gauranga, just like Raghunath Das Goswami. Nittai kripa came on his head, he got free from sense gratification. When he got free from sense gratification, he went to Puri. Then he could worship Sakshat Gauranga. Then he worshipped Gauranga, he got to go to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he got to worship Radha and Krishna under the guidance of Rupa and Rati. Rupa and Rati. It's like this. We follow footsteps.
So we only gain knowledge of our position when we go back to Gauranga?
No. At the level of Ruchi, you'll start to understand. There's Nishta. After Nishta, there comes Ruchi. At the level of Ruchi, in Bhajan Ruchi, one will have the first understanding of what is his Sthayivav, his permanent, loving, mellow towards Krishna. That's here, in this world, in this body, in this material body. And one will realize his individual Siddhadeya with the 11 symptoms of the Siddhadeya. It's called Ekadash Bhav. He realized the 11 symptoms at the level of Bhava Bhakti. Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava. Here, in this world, right now, in Gurukul. Or postgraduate Gurukul, whatever. Graduate school, graduate Gurukul.
So, he told me in a very, very nice way, which was very clear. He said that if you go to a university, like UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles, he said you go there and there are many degrees available out there. But he said, but always you have one university or a school that specializes in one subject. Like it will specialize in mathematics. And if it specializes in mathematics, then the professors are specialists in mathematics. We have all books available for mathematics. We have all the equipment available if needed any, so that you can, excel in mathematics. And then you have other subjects also available. So you can take those other subjects. They are available in that university, but it specializes. Similarly, he says that in the Gaudiya line, Madhurya Bhav is the speciality. And then you can take on, if you have attraction towards the other rasas, then you can...
That will be told. Time will tell, as they say. Time will tell all.
So the same, the same teacher could be like in different bhav, and the disciple could be in different.
Yes. The teacher has two PhDs. He has a PhD in biology. He has a PhD in math. Then he can train you in biology, and he can train you in math. So if he has a PhD in Madhurya Ras, he can train you in Madhurya Ras, because Madhurya Ras includes all five. Madhurya Ras means four PhDs. He has a PhD in Dasya Ras, he has a PhD in Sakya Ras, he has a PhD in Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras. So he has four PhDs.
He's not there.
Valedictorian. Basically in Braj, everything is Madhurya Ras. Everything. The land is Madhurya Ras, the water is Madhurya Ras. You already heard. You heard in Mayapur, the Ganga is having Madhurya Ras. The Ganga is water. And the Ganga is having transcendental experiences by feeling the Ganga is feeling transcendental experiences by touching the body of Gauranga. These are Madhurya ecstasies. So in Braj, everything is ultimately Madhurya. Everything is contributing to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And the land, the trees, the birds, the bees, Yashoda, everyone is actually relishing the sweetness of Radha and Krishna's pastimes and contributing to and helping towards the nourishment of their pastimes. Nanda Baba, everyone, ultimately. Ultimately, it's all Madhurya Ras. That can be seen when one actually studies Shastra. Dai Gaur Panandi Hari Hari Bol.